like, you know those blow up things at the car sales? That's me dancing, guys. And he thought that was hot. So there's hope for us all. On today's episode, we have my partner in crime, Tom. He is the most caring and genuine person in the entire world, but he is also dedicated to breath work and meditation. He teaches a purpose course as well as created his own community called The Elephants. I'm so excited for you to hear this pod. We talk all about relationships, our experiences, and we answer your questions. Welcome back to Self Dom Beautiful Humans, a safe place to learn and get inspired to live your healthiest and most fulfilling life. We have a very special guest on this week's episode. It's my partner in life, Tom. He didn't have to travel far to get to the studio, our house, today, so I'm super excited. We're going to be chatting all about relationships, breath work. We actually asked you guys on the Self Dom Instagram what questions to answer, so I'm super excited. We've had a little glance over them, but we haven't chatted about them. So I'm super curious to see how we answer these.
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh,
I saw one of them.
Yeah.
It was, are you going to have kids? And then we had a huge domestic over it.
Yeah.
No, joking. Just joking.
So welcome, Tom.
Thanks, baby. Good to be here.
Super excited to have you on.
Yeah.
I thought we could start off with the question, how do you stick to your healthy routines at the start of a relationship?
At the start of a relationship, I think that you essentially have to build the habits when you're single or in a, when you're in a relationship. But I think in an ideal world, you do that groundwork on yourself first. And then by the time you hit a relationship, those habits are ingrained and you'd want to attract a partner that sort of meets you on your level in a way. I think there needs to be compliments, values that, you know, you indulge in certain things, maybe like restaurants or going out on a similar level. So then your healthy habits, you can help hold each other accountable. You're really good at that, baby. You've got such a great routine that makes my life easier because Dom will be up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, all right, I guess I'm off as well. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's an episode out, which you haven't listened to it, which is why you need self-love to find love. I think if you haven't listened to that, it really explains that perfectly. I think it's so important to know your boundaries before you enter a relationship because you want to be with someone who respects that in the long run, right? But in saying that, I think at the start of a relationship, just have fun and don't put too much stress on it. There's studies as well that show when you're not stressed, your digestion works better, everything works better. So I think, you know, if you're going to go on a date and you're enjoying it, don't worry if you're having an extra drink. Don't worry if you're having dessert and you don't usually. Just enjoy it because those memories are so precious. And I do believe once you're a few months in with the person, you can have those conversations. Like, of course, you touch on them at the start that you're a healthy person and those are your values. But I think there is more lenience compared to where we are now, where we'll be like, we only do dinner reservations at 5:30 p.m. You know, yeah. I feel like when we first started dating, we went at like a normal 7 p.m. and drank wine. And now it's completely normal for us to go out, have an early dinner, just have a sparkling water and lemon. And that's okay. So I think having flexibility and not being harsh on yourself is really important, but also vocalizing the type of person you are and not changing who you are for someone to validate you and to love you.
Yeah, there's that not compromising yourself and the things that you like to stick to, I guess, because eventually you're going to end up wanting to, you're going to end up being that person that you are at the start. So I wouldn't shift too far off it. Don't suddenly obviously become someone that you're not because it's not going to have longevity when the real you sort of settles in. So just living your truest self from the start is really important.
I'm quite curious, as a guy, have you been with someone who in the past didn't set those boundaries at the start and then like a few months in was completely different person? Did you see that when you were dating?
Not really. Before you and I, my relationships have sort of stemmed from just hanging out a lot for, you know, we'd hang out once a week and then suddenly 4 months later we're in a relationship, which just meant we had those 4 months to kind of, you know, get to know each other better where there wasn't any too big or drastic changes. But especially when you're younger, I mean, late teens, 20s, even mid-20s, you're still developing and changing a lot. And so I'm sure there was instances in relationships where one of us has changed, but it's just that evolution of life rather than a sudden change where they weren't themselves at the start.
And I think it's good to acknowledge right now that whether you're single or not, if you're in the dating game in your early 20s, you can grow with someone and that's so amazing. But also if you're in your late 20s, early 30s, 40s, you know yourself. So then when you do meet the right person, you've already ticked that all off and you know yourself, and that's a great place to be in the dating game. So wherever you are, the world is your oyster.
Yeah, and it's, I can't stress enough the importance. I've thought about it for so long over the last 6 years, 7 years, is that you just have to be that version of yourself that you love. Doing those steps to make sure that, I've got a theory that people struggle to end up in relationships because when they see themselves in the mirror, they see their own potential. And so then they're not meeting the right person because maybe they aren't doing the things that are aligning with their potential. You know, if you're going out and partying too much, or you're smoking cigarettes, or you're doing something where it's like, you know, you kind of have to be your best version of yourself to attract the person that you see yourself being with. So that's that self-love, the self-care. This is what the podcast is all about, right? Be that best version of yourself, and I can guarantee that your chances of aligning with the right person are going to absolutely skyrocket. Before Dom and I met, I think I'd had 6 months without drinking. Not that there's anything wrong with drinking, but it was just a process of really getting myself as aligned as possible, and then, you know, the energy and vibrations, you just kind of click.
Yeah, I love that, baby. So the next question I got was, how do you guys go sleeping together? Me and my hubby sleep in separate rooms as sleep is so valuable.
we've got two beds here and it's a funny one because Dom's really big on the connection that comes from sleeping in the same bed. And I can feel that as well. If we're sleeping in the same bed, which we are 95% of the time, then you feel that more connected. You can have a cuddle in the morning, you wake up together and get started on the day together. I think that's really powerful, but absolutely, hands down, I would sleep better by myself. I'm not going to, it's the sacrifices that you make. I would, my Whoop strap data and stuff like that. I get really conscious of, like, I'll be in bed and I really don't want to wake you up. And if I'm struggling to get to sleep, like maybe I'm uncomfortable and I don't really want, I'll have to like, go full.
Still, you're like
I have to go full ninja to rock. What if you're like just gotten to sleep and you're 20 minutes in and someone wakes you up? Sometimes that you can.
No, I know.
It can be like you've just had a nap where suddenly you spring back awake. Mm. And I know how important sleep is to you, so I don't want to compromise that. But yeah, I understand the benefits of having your own bed, but there's also that connection that comes with it. So I'm happy to. I'm happy. I love sharing a bed with you, baby.
In saying that though, if one of us has an early morning or an early start, we sleep in separate beds. Like if I've got an early flight, you'll sleep in the other room. If you have an early flight, we do communicate about that. Yeah. And if one of us feels stressed or is working late, they'll sleep in the other room. Yeah. Even though 95% of the time we do sleep together, there is that compromise. And I've had to work on not feeling insecure when Tom doesn't want to sleep with me in the bed because I don't sleep as well. Because I love having his warm body in the bed because I'm always cold. So I think as well, it's that open communication is so important. And I think that will be a theme throughout all these questions is just communicating it. And I think communicating it from the start is really important. When we first started dating, it's always hard to sleep in the same bed because now this is our bed together. But there was times when I'd be like, oh, I've got work tonight. Tomorrow I'm going to stay in my own bed. So I think
you'd boot me out of the house.
Or I'd boot you out, yeah. So I think it's communication is so important, and we are both obsessed with having good night's rest. So, you know, if he feels like he really needs a good sleep, absolutely sleep in the other room.
It was funny, when we were moving into this place, we were like, oh, we got two beds. If one of us is coming home late, then the other one can sleep in the other bed so they don't wake you up. But we're both asleep at like 8:30 a.m. every single night, so we haven't really had that.
So that's like our view on sleeping together, but I honestly feel like there's no rules. There's no right and wrong. You've got to do what works for both of you. And again, there has to be compromise. And I feel like Tom is clearly compromising here.
And I think
he's compromising sleeping in the bed with me.
I think that if it becomes really important to one person one way or another, like I'm pretty easy with it. I'm not super passionate about sleeping in my own bed or with Dom. If I had it my way, it'd probably be about 50-50% of the time, but I don't really care too much. But if your partner is struggling to sleep at night and they feel like they're getting, I don't know, overheated, or they're just waking up all through the night, or if you're the kind of person that wakes up all through the night and your partner feels like they need to have their own bed to get their good night's rest, we all know how important sleep is to you.
Yeah.
The way that it affects your mood, your mental health, your physical health, that REM, and what's the other one? SRS, the deep sleep, SWS, is just, it completely affects the next day. So if you said to me, hey, I think we should take separate rooms from now on, I'm struggling to get my deep sleep in, I would just absolutely have to respect that, because I know that would really impact our interactions during the day after that.
Well, exactly. And if you have a good sleep, you're going to be better to your partner, you're going to be better at work, you're going to be better with your friends, which has such a flow-on effect to everything in your life.
Yeah, so if it is impacting you, then it's definitely a conversation to have.
Yeah. The next question is actually about breath work. So someone's asked, I can't stop my mind wandering during breath work. Any advice?
During the actual process of the breathing. Interesting. Well, it'd be good to be able to chat more and know what kind of breathing exercises you're doing. If it's slow breath work, if you're doing box breathing or something like that, or pranayama breathing, and it's quite controlled and you're trying to nurture your body through slow breathing, I can understand where your mind might be running more, because it is quite gentle. And I would suggest trying a different form of breath work like the Wim Hof.
Can you do an example for the people who don't know what that is?
So Wim Hof's a huge inhale. You fill up your stomach and your chest, and then you bring your breath back to a neutral place, and you repeat that 30 times. So it's like, and there's not really any right or wrong with it. But as you, I think it would be really hard to have your mind running while you're going, and then eventually once you do that 30 times, you exhale completely, just to a neutral level, and you just stop, relax. Maybe you can keep an eye on the clock. You probably want to aim for about 45 seconds where your breath is at, you're at the bottom of the lungs. And then you take a big inhale after the hold. And then you want to hold that at least for 30 seconds. And you can even hold it for as long as you want, right? You can get up to like 3-4 minutes doing that. And that's one cycle of Wim Hof. Usually when I do that, the way that it impacts my mind, it kind of drops me straight into a meditation in a really intense way, where I'm like, oh my God, the energy's moving around my body and I'm like about to explode from a rocket ship. Like, I wouldn't have any choice but to think about like the immediate present, because my body's going through something quite intense. So I would be good to know what kind of breath work she's doing for her to still have her mind running. If you are doing the intense breathing and your mind's still running, I think it's probably a indication that you might need to meditate more and push through that. We need to get comfortable with our running mind. If we sit there with our thoughts so much, eventually they become boring. Maybe there's experiences in your life that have caused your mind to be running like this. If there's trauma in the body, maybe it's the energy that's stuck in your body and there needs to be some exercises to help release the trauma, because I'm sure your mind's probably might be going to a specific event in the past or possibly in the future. And I guess it's a bigger indication that what's happening in your life might need to shift the direction that you're going, what's happening in your immediate present, or work on the past. Huberman's got an amazing thing for releasing trauma. It's a behavioral therapy exercise using narrative, where you retell the story of the traumatic event in so much detail that as you tell the story, you have this huge emotional release, and then you finish telling the story, make it all the way through. And then you come back a week later and you retell the story. But because you've told it a week earlier, the emotional sort of outburst isn't as high. And then the waves, you come back a week later, the waves get smaller and smaller until you get to a point where the story that you're telling becomes boring because you've just told it so many times. That's extinguishing the trauma. And then you have to reframe why something's happened in your life. And then you also have to add on how it's actually enabled you to do something else. So if it's like, you know, something happened to you, like a breakup happened, and you tell the story of the breakup, the relationship, how you felt about it, You might be able to reframe it into, you know, I got a lot of really positive things out of that. And it's actually allowed me to go in a new direction when that direction clearly wasn't going to serve me. And now it's enabled you to know what love is because you felt the depths of all the pain. And it's enabled you to know when you get with your next partner, you're going to give it absolutely everything because the heartbreak of you know, not finding the right person or not making it work too much. So you put extra effort into it. Something along those lines, if you feel like it's a something from the past that's sitting in your head. But yeah, it's probably, there's quite a big scope there. I hope that helped.
Well, let us know in the comments if you want to do a breathwork chat with Tom, because he's obviously got a lot of knowledge up in that noggin. So let us know.
Yeah, I'm always open. Feel free to always just flick us a message in the comment down below on the pod or whatever. I love that sort of thing. My favorite thing is helping people, or not even helping people, just being there, communicating. If I've been through something before, maybe I can share some words of wisdom. So I've got plenty of time to sit there and chew each other's ears off.
So the next question we got was, how did you guys get together? Do our answers match is my question.
Okay, we'll say it on three. One, two, three. Tinder.
Tinfin. What'd you say?
Tinder.
Idiot.
Tinfin. Yeah, so we did. We kept running into each other. We ran into each other three times in 3 weeks. The first time that I saw Dom, it was at a party, and I remember her just being so free on the dance floor. It is.
I'm like, you know those blow up things at the car sales? That's me dancing, guys. And he thought that was hot. So there's hope for us all.
It's like there's something really special about somebody being able to completely let go and be their most free self. And if you want to dance, however you want to run around like a monkey, do whatever you want to do. It's about that I saw her on the first night.
Going, woo!
And I thought, wow, that person is so comfortable in their own skin and they're so free. And I thought that was really beautiful. And then I ran into her at Tinfin the next day.
And I had no idea who he was. He was like, he walked across the road and I was looking at him because I thought he was cute.
And I was like, that's the bloody girl from the party.
And I was with my friend Mia and I said, oh, that guy's cute. And then he started talking to us and brought up this party. And I was like, who is this guy?
Was it the next day? I think it might have been like a few days later.
And then he left and I said to my friend Mia, was it really obvious I didn't know who that was? And she said, yes.
No, I didn't know. I thought I was cool.
And then we went and saw Wim Hof the next week and he was there.
Yeah, so the second time I saw Dom, the conversation was philosophical about love and life is the right word to describe it.
We just went straight into a deep conversation. Yeah, we went straight into a deep convo. There were so many people around.
And so then it was like, oh, wow, that girl that is likes to be free and just be super comfortable in her own skin has actually got can communicate amazingly. It can hold a really nice conversation. And then again, I saw her at a thing called Humankind, which was an event that our friends put on. It had amazing guest speakers about technology, AI, comedy, love, adventure. And so we ran into each other at that event.
And then he DM'd me.
Well, in mid-conversation, we're having another really nice conversation and I was like, whoa, this girl is I just already in love. And then this a mate of mine came in and was like, Tommy, how you going? And grabbed me and was like, buddy, it's so good to see you. And in my head out loud, I'm like, oh, mate, it's good to see you too. And in my head, I'm like, mate, the fuck girl of my dreams is about to walk away. Let go of me. And then by the time I turned around, Dom was gone. And I was like, damn it. And then I slid into the DMs.
And then for our first date, well, they didn't ask, but he was going to take me on the seaplane to Burt's.
Yeah, I wanted to.
But then
to.
I finished work too late, so we ended up driving. But
yeah,
rest was history. Well, we were kissing plants together on the first date. He's a weirdo like me.
Kissing plants.
Yeah, because I saw these beautiful fiddle leaves in Burt's and I was like, I have to kiss that. And we hadn't had a sip of alcohol yet. And I was like, I've got to kiss that tree. And he was like, I want to kiss it too. And I was like, yay, we're weirdos together.
Oh, I loved it when you kissed that plant. It was so beautiful.
See, you're a weirdo for every weirdo.
Yeah. There was also a time we went to a restaurant and I thought that you were watching me. And so as I walked past the reception, I like kissed this plant and then the receptionist were like, this guy's a weirdo. And I looked back at you and you weren't even watching me. So suddenly I did this weird thing and no one was even paying attention. Anyway, baby, there was one more thing I wanted to say. Oh, yeah. For the first date, the seaplane thing is really extreme, right? But because we had hung out a few times, or like we'd ran into each other a few times, I knew that this girl was really special. And I knew that we, the things I mentioned before about free communication, we already had some mutual friends, which I knew meant that we had sort of alignment in what we enjoyed. And I wanted to do something special. Like I wanted to make the date special. We were chatting over Instagram for, I think it was probably a week or 10 days or something like that, maybe 2 weeks. But from our conversation, I learned things that, oh, I learned that she likes matcha. I learned that she likes olives. She likes honey. I knew that she liked her matcha iced with honey, et cetera. Soy milk at the time. Now it's almond milk. But so I learned these things and I was paying attention because it was important to me, right? You get to a point in life where you don't want to mess around anymore. I wasn't going out on dates just to like, oh yeah, I met up with this chick. It was like, no, I want to find somebody special. So when I found someone who could potentially be a partner, it was in my head like, all right, well, let's make it special. What do you know she likes? So when she came to my house on the way to the date, we drove there together.
And I just finished a 10-hour lookbook shoot.
Yeah, she just finished a shoot. I had a matcha made for her with ice, with honey, with soy milk.
Very
like
good.
The most beautiful honey that I could find. Like it was, and it was like, it, I
don't, they exist, men like this. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it was just, it was, if I think that there's something nice about, we keep things casual all the time as well, but if someone's special to you and you want to do something nice, chivalry shouldn't be dead and we should go and, you know, treat a person with an amazing experience if we think that they could be right. Like it was such a beautiful first day. We ended up pretty much hanging out all weekend. I loved it.
I think as well, I always say to my girlfriends, if they wanted to, they would. And it often is a simple answer to when, like I'm so guilty of it before I met Tom, like being with people and you read into the messages and are they going to message and maybe it means this. And really if they wanted to, they would. And I feel like with most people, with the relationships they do end up in, it's super streamlined, it's super fluid, and it's two people come to the table who are looking for something serious. And if you are struggling right now, it's like don't settle for less.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to, again, go back to your boundaries, remember what works for you. And if someone's mucking you around, I really just think if they wanted to, they would.
Yeah, when people show you their colors, you kind of just got to listen to them. If the person's been a little bit aloof or disappearing, then there's not really any point on trying to change the person down. Maybe they're just not at the right time in their life. But particularly men, I feel like there's generally an age where I would say in your early 20s, there's only probably 10% of men that are actually keen to go settle down. By the time you get to mid-20s, it's probably like 25% of men. I'm speaking more in the, you know, eastern suburbs of Sydney where everybody's wild, right? If you're in the countries and stuff like that, I'm sure it's very different. But then as you get towards early 30s, that shifts in a big way towards like maybe 70% of men would actually like to sort of settle down. And so just being careful and knowing that that's how it works in the demographics or the statistics of men. There's no point on going for a 22-year-old guy if he's showing you his stripes and he's clearly looking to party and have fun if you're looking to settle down, because, you know, you might, there's no point on wasting 4 years with somebody when he's going to still be a party boy at 26.
Yeah. Well, I think that goes to the next question. Because someone asked, how do you navigate dating in your 20s with the current men culture that we have? It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough, yeah.
I think I'm going to jump in here, yeah. But I think, again, we've mentioned have your boundaries, but also use this time to focus on yourself so that when you do find the right person, you've ticked everything off. Do you want to travel alone? Do you want to move to another country? Do you want to try a different job? Find your girlfriends, find your tribe, find your hobbies. These are all amazing things you can do. And if those, obviously these are not scientific statistics, but with Tom saying, I agree, as you get older, the pool of men become more interested in finding a life partner. So with that in mind, like embrace your alone time, because one day you're going to look back and think, I never will get that again.
Mm. And also when, as a guy, we see a woman have her own thing going on, it is so attractive. The last thing we want is to feel, and I'm sure this goes for both genders, is to feel to feel suddenly trapped, to feel locked down, to feel like that person is dependent on you and that all of a sudden you've got like this big weight on your shoulders that you can't shake. So creating that independence, you know, building out your community, building out some passion, some purpose, is just so attractive, and it'll not only fulfill you, but it'll more than likely attract the right person into your life.
I think that's the best way to navigate it, is to actually just prioritize yourself, and then the right people will come into your life. Like, as I mentioned, when I met Tom, I was literally saying to my girlfriend, I'm actually so happy on my own right now. Like, unless a man's going to make my life better, I'm not putting up with this bullshit. And then Tom came into my life. So I really believe that you attract when the time is right.
Yeah.
But it is tough out there. Like, I think it's important to acknowledge, like, there's so many fuckboys and just people who are going to use you, but you have the decision whether you put up with it or not.
Mm. And I've got no issues with people. I think that using dating apps is amazing. I think it's a great way to go and meet a bunch of people. Man, you got to go on some dates where it's just you clearly aren't aligned and you're in a different space. But for people that aren't on dating apps and you're finding it hard to get a date, it's not a bad shout to pop on. Just set your boundaries. You know, you can attract the right kind of sort of person on a dating app if you present yourself in a certain way. Communicate in a certain way. But yeah, it's dating's definitely a tough one.
I think also accepting it's 2024. Dating apps, I feel like at majority of weddings, people like how they met on Tinder or Hinge or Raya or whatever it was.
Well, like, that's part of why it's so hard to meet a person, is because somebody else is always so accessible, because they can just pop onto an app and go, oh, you know what, I'm just going to like work my way through everyone on Hinge. It's so different nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Just for listening to the best advice I give you is when a person shows you his true colors, or she shows you her true colors, you got to listen to them, because there's no point in spending years trying to change somebody if it's not what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So the next question is, how do you make sure you don't get carried away day after day and focus on each other? Well, I think last night for us was a very good example, where it's been a crazy week. I've been in Melbourne, been Queensland, casting for Fashion Week. And last night at 6 p.m., I was like, my phone's on Do Not Disturb. And I knew I had a list of things to do, but I knew that they could wait till tomorrow. And we just like put the phone off, had a beautiful dinner. Like, the biggest thing for me in connecting is you could be around someone all the time, but if you're on your phone, you're not connected. It's just having that phone on Do Not Disturb, putting it in another room, and just spending even 1 hour of quality time. Like, when we go for a walk without our phones, how different is it than when we walk with our phones? Yeah. It's like what you were telling me about that podcast, all these distractions, and then you're not even focused on the one thing you were meant to do.
Yeah, I think that might have been Mo Gaudet or maybe Jimmy Carr on DCEO. Yeah, just how we're not present in situations, and how we're supposed to get pleasure, or how we're supposed to get satisfaction, enjoyment. How are we supposed to get enjoyment if we're not completely present? I guess putting your phone away is absolutely the first thing to do. Dom and I go on date nights maybe once a week.
We aim
for once a week.
But sometimes if it's been a crazy week, the last thing that I'm quite a homebody, and like I have to get always dressed up for work and things. So sometimes a date night can be just putting on a movie and just ordering takeaway, or sometimes it is getting dressed up and being a bit more romantic.
But we will allocate the night as our night. Hey, this is our night coming up. So,
and planning is important. Planning, put it in your diary, like Thursday night, date night.
And then we get excited about it. You know, if it's Thursday night, date night, on Wednesday, it's like, oh, I can't wait to have date night with you tomorrow night. I'm really excited. And then put the effort in as well, and get a nice playlist going on. Get some candles, chat about some fun things that you can do, and make the specific times really high quality time where it's just you two and you're just communicating and enjoying things. And, you know, we love going on road trips together. So we always pack the bags and go and stay at little tiny homes, or, you know, I was looking after my mate's camper van for 6 months. And so we'd go on little road trips up and down the coast in the camper van, and those little experiences play a huge role in us having these adventures. We're both quite adventurous people.
And I think as well, because life is busy, and as this question, it's like, you know, the day-to-day really gets the best of you sometimes. Mm. But if you have that Thursday night you're going to be together, it's like, okay, Wednesday night we might both be working late on our laptops, but we know that that quality time is coming up. And I think that that makes both people still feel loved, feel heard. That's why planning, I think, is so important. Planning actually gives you more time. I think people think, oh, if you're so planned, you're not carefree, you're not spontaneous, but it's completely opposite. You have more time because you've set time to do certain things instead of giving each other this half-assed time.
And saying no to things as well, whether it's at work or with people that aren't serving you or whatever it is, saying no is powerful. Sometimes it can really elevate you in other people's eyes because it's clear that you're setting boundaries, and that can help to free up the time. And then also just that communication. Dom's an amazing communicator. Jeez, she is straight down the line sometimes where I'm like, whoa, okay, I get how awesome it is that you communicated that. It just takes me a second to sort of acknowledge it and then adjust. Like the other day she was like, hey, you're at home a lot, and sometimes I feel like I don't have a home, like sometimes I feel like I don't have enough space where I can just completely settle in, where I've got the house to myself. And so, you know, I went and got the office set up and have been making sure she has her own space. But there's an element of direct communication that's really important if things aren't serving you, where maybe you do need that separation to make the heart grow fonder, to then come back together and have that quality time.
Yeah. And it's the communication and the boundaries. It's the theme. It keeps coming up, but I feel like that is a recipe for a good relationship, because if you go throughout the relationship without acknowledging, okay, I feel like we're together a bit too much in the house, then it becomes an elephant in the room and it grows and grows and grows. And something small that was fixable at the time becomes this huge problem down the line, you know? So I think communication's huge. That's it for that question. Someone said, when newly dating, seeing each other, did you know right away you were meant to be?
I did. Yeah, I knew straight away.
Well, it's funny. I was so attracted to you, but I was...
Was?
No, I am. but the instant chemistry and connection was so there. But on our first date, like, we were drinking and partying a little bit. Like, it was very different to the people we are now. So it's quite interesting to see that development, because at first I was maybe like, ooh, is he a red flag? Ooh, is he a bit too good to be true? I actually said to my friends, he's too good to be true. There has to be something wrong with him.
Yeah, you still haven't figured it out yet.
I haven't figured it out. He's literally still too good to be true. Even my mum yesterday in the sauna, people spend their whole life trying to find a man like Tom.
Oh, she's such a sweetheart. She's such a sweetheart. So hi, Odile.
So I think, I don't think you need to know straight away. In this person's question, like, we did know really straight away and the chemistry was there. But I really believe a healthy relationship is one that can also grow from a friendship. It can also grow from whatever it is. I think being open-minded is extremely important as well. And even me and you had that moment where we did become very healthy. We weren't really going out. We weren't partying or drinking. And it was coming to terms with out, like, drinking as a stimulant to, like, create fire. You know what I mean? We had, like, learning that was a healthy relationship, and I feel so in love, more in love with you than ever. But there was a little bit of a shift where I was like, okay, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you have to realize, like, a healthy relationship isn't always going to be fireworks and crazy chemistry. Like, a healthy relationship is more than that. It's, is this person going to support you when shit hits the fan? Is this person going to help you when you need help? Like, if you're going to just chase this crazy flame and chemistry, I think you might go down the wrong way.
Yeah, and it's also sometimes when shit hits the fan, it can be the most powerful things that actually make you grow so much stronger. Like, Dom and I had an issue in, like, November or December last year, and we communicated about it, and it actually pivoted the path that we were going on, and has really gelled us into a place of, like, yeah, we've been through our first, we've knocked over our first hurdle, and it's made us stronger. So if you're going through a moment where things are challenging, really give it a red hot crack and seeing if you can use that challenge to solidify your love and future even more. Something else in that question, which I think is really important, is, you know, finding love at first sight, in a sense. When I first met Dom, I said to her at the front of Timpin, oh, I've got a date tonight. You know, this is the second time I'd seen Dom, right? We weren't in a relationship. We weren't dating. I'd only just met her. And I said, hey, I've got a, she goes, what are you doing tonight? And I go, I've got a date with somebody. It's our third date, but I don't know if it's quite right. And I'm trying to find the balance between giving it enough time to know if it's right or not, but also not spending too much time on something that's not right. So you've got to sometimes take the hard path. If you're with somebody and you know that they're not quite right, freeing up your time to find a person that is right is so important. Imagine you're with some, like, you know, just casually hooking up with someone and you hang out every Saturday for 6 months. How many Saturdays is that where you could have been out meeting the person you're actually going to spend the rest of your life with? And I know it can be really tough because it brings that companionship and you can have a laugh together. Maybe the sex is fantastic, but if you're actually trying to find the person you want to settle down with, your time's valuable and there's no point on wasting it on somebody that you know isn't right.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I also think that from my experience, women can be a little bit more flexible because they want the validation and they want, like, to feel loved. And that's why that self-love is so important, because you won't hold on to things even though you know they're wrong. Love that. Super important. The next question we've kind of touched on, but I thought it'd be good because we can dive deeper into it, which is how to introduce your partner to your new life or being healthy and spiritual. Obviously for us, we were already on that journey, but I'm trying to imagine if it was new and someone brought it to the table. As Tom said, we're all changing all the time, and you either choose to grow with someone or you grow apart. I think it's important that if you're going to put yourself and your higher self as a priority in your life, that's incredible. And you want your partner to, whether he's doing it or not, it actually doesn't matter, but he needs to respect it. And again, the communication, the boundaries, super important. For me, I couldn't be with someone who doesn't embrace the spiritual and prioritize their well-being, because it's so important. So I think that's a question you need to ask yourself, because I do think some people like doing it on their own and they don't want their partner to be involved because it creates a bit of tension. It creates, you know, a bit of fire. Mm. What's your thoughts?
Oh, look, I think you summed it up in a pretty nice way. Finding that balance between what should your partner be involved in that you really love, and what things should you just hold, you know, should you appreciate that it's just you that goes and gets to experience that? You know, if Dom didn't like to meditate, but I like to meditate, then, you know, it wouldn't faze me if I just do my own thing for 20 minutes in the morning and go and meditate. And they absolutely need to respect that. If someone ever tries to shift you off something that's bringing you positive energy into your life, then you need to have that hard conversation with how important it is to you. So as long as they respect it, I don't think most of the time they have to necessarily embrace it. And you can also just be gentle with the introduction to certain things. There's been a few things which I've gone, hey, would you like to ever try this? And then there's been a bit of resistance at the start, and then maybe we do try something and it ends up being beautiful and we get to experience it together. Yeah,
I love that. I think we'll end on this last question, which was, do you plan on having kids in the future? Well, we have a dog. We have Crumble.
We'll answer it on three. One, two, three.
Yeah. But not, I've gone off the birth control pill, but it's not to have children, FYI. I'm only 28, 29 tomorrow actually. So still got a bit of things I want to do and achieve, but I definitely see us having a family together.
Yeah. My favorite thing is teaching people things that I've been through and experienced. I love being able to communicate with someone and see if I can help provide a path that's going to give them, you know, help build skills or build knowledge. And I absolutely love learning as well. If someone else can show me things, I'm like a sponge. But I've always known that I'm going to have children one day, and I can't wait to be a dad. I'm so excited to have this little thing that we can mold into a version that's a combination of us and it really, really excites me. In saying all that, I'm in absolutely no rush. It doesn't faze me at all if it's tomorrow or in 5 years, any more than any more than 5 years and I'll start to be a little bit.
No, it won't be that long.
But yeah, I'm absolutely in no rush. I'm just enjoying the process, enjoying the life, and yeah, I'm one day excited to have some babies with my baby.
I feel like having the dog as well is really good practice. I'm like, wow, Tom's going to be a great dad. Mm. So that would be my tip. Get a dog before you pop one out.
Yeah, it's beautiful seeing you with Crumble, baby. I love that.
Well, thank you for coming on the pod. I know you had to travel really far.
No worries, baby, anytime.
You're incredible and I already knew that. You're the most genuine, caring person and I hope everyone listening has a partner, with or without a partner, meets someone like you.
Thanks, baby, and I'm so proud of you with this podcast. It's so inspiring when you say you're going to do something, you just buckle down and do it, and I'm sure it helps motivate people a lot, and I'm really proud of you and I love you.
Thanks, baby. Well, that's it for today. A little bit of a relationship-inspired self-done pod. Just a reminder to hit that follow button and subscribe. And also let us know if you want us to do any other pods on breathwork or any other And let us know if you want us to do another podcast together. I didn't mention, but Tom also teaches purpose courses. He really helped me find my purpose. So let us know if you want us to do a little pod on that. I'll see you on the next episode.